of the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good to be here. I'll tell you this breaking story yesterday. Donna Brazil, if you haven't heard of who she is, this lady is a big-time Democratic Party operative. And with problems during the campaign, she got brought in to head up the DNC, I think sometime in July of 2016. She comes in, and if she's to be believed in what she's saying, she came in and very quickly realized that the whole thing, the whole primary process had been rigged. Hillary Clinton had bought basically the entire DNC and owned it well before she stitched up the nomination. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is not earth-shattering news. What's interesting, what matters, is why are we finding this out now? And there's more to it than just Donna Brazil is putting out a book, which, of course, is part of the story. Okay, if you want to be on the program today, phone number. Let me do this before I get too deep in this. 800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. Also, the email, sam@samnation.com. If you want to reach me, I do check that during the program, always. So, Brazil, she comes out with a book, her version of what happened related back to the campaign. And I will tell you, fascinating stuff. This is a broadside from a Clinton Party loyalist. This is very important. She's not a Bernie bro. Brazil, you know, she was Al Gore's campaign chairman. No, manager. She managed Al Gore's campaign. Before that, she had been a superdelegate, right? We heard a lot about that during this last race. Superdelegates are those important people in the party who decide, whose votes matter almost more, apparently, than us plebs that go to the polls and vote in primaries and thinking that our votes matter. Well, at least if you're a Democrat. So the superdelegates are the voting membership of the party, the party grandees. And she was a superdelegate for Bill Clinton. So she's got this is important background. Because this is not somebody who is an anti-Clinton person. Not at all, in fact. So here she comes into the party. She takes over for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And if, again, her account of it is, she goes in and very quickly realizes that the party has been, I don't know, has been running to the ground. No better word for it. They're totally broke. They've got an enormous cash burn rate. And she finds out, she goes, look, I'm basically, before the campaign even began, Hillary Clinton did something that was really smart. It was really smart if you're Hillary and you want to get elected. You want to get elected in the primary. Because Hillary understood, or at least her team understood, that the key to the Democratic Party nomination, the way it works within the Democratic Party, the Republican Party works a little bit differently, but the way it works is you really, the party is very important for that nomination. You've got these superdelegates, you've got all these people within the party whose votes count, whose votes matter. So how do you get those votes? Money. And it's the oldest story, right? It's the oldest story. If you've got a party that's broke, and you've got a ton of money, right? You're Hillary Clinton. You're fundraising. You're pulling $100 million here left and right. I mean, no question about it. Hillary Clinton can fundraise. So she made a deal. Her people went to the Democratic Party and said, look, we got a deal. We're going to us take care of it. We're just going to pay for it. But it's just like mom and dad. Remember living home, mom and dad? As soon as mom and dad pay for something, what does it come with? Generally speaking, strings attached, right? If mom and dad are paying, mom and dad are going to tell you, hey, this is what I think, you know, all right, I'm going to help you. But I don't think you need the iPhone X. I think that you need maybe one of those Samsung Galaxy deals or whatever. Right. They get to make the decisions. And that is what happened here. Suddenly, the Hillary Clinton campaign was making decisions. They decided who got hired, who got fired, who made important decisions within the party, who chose those superdelegates. And Hillary was able to stack everything from top to bottom. Are we surprised? No. Am I surprised it's coming out now? Perhaps a little. Because what it signifies to me is there is a willingness right now within the Democratic Party establishment to throw Hillary overboard. It's huge. It's more than just Donna Brazile writing a book, and it's because other people are surfacing. People who have defended Hillary historically. And they're going on the record. They're going on the record saying, yeah, I believe it, and we got to fix this, and it's blah, blah, blah. They're not throwing the other architect of this disaster. Nobody is throwing Obama overboard. And this is an important point that no one is making. The destruction of the Democratic Party as an independent organ capable of nurturing new and independent talent within that party in state races, local races, and promoting those people up potentially into national races, important races. That whole system that worked for years within the party was torpedoed by Obama initially. He was the first person who really took the Democratic Party and kind of moved his operation, and with his operation took it over. And no, you know, and but he did it right. The thing is when you do something that's aggressive, when you do something that's bold and you succeed with it, even if it's a touch arrogant, success, oftentimes people don't argue with it. So Obama delivered two presidential wins, which is huge, but at the same time left a party that was very dependent on the Obama campaign, on the Obama political action committees, on Obama himself. So it was a party that once Obama was no longer relevant, which happens when you become a lame duck president, suddenly had struggling to raise money because they had been on welfare. This is so crazy. Imagine this. The Democrats want to run the country. They want to run the country. They think they know what's best, and they can't even run their own damn party. It's incredible. No, I mean, the story, when you start reading, and again, Brazil's account is so, she wrote a piece in the Politico, and it's I think, excerpted from her book. Very dramatic. You know, she, I think sometime, when was it? September 7th, about a month before the election, she finally works up the courage to call Bernie and to tell Bernie that he had been robbed of the nomination. And what happens? Oh, what is she has to, she lights some candles. Who does this? If you had a tough phone call to make, do you light a candle? I don't know. Maybe she had some candles she was getting ready for Halloween. I don't look. She lit a candle. She played some gospel music, got herself in a mood, called up Bernie. Talks about how Bernie. Can you imagine? By the way, getting that phone call when you're Bernie. And I think people. I don't think that people within the Democratic Party were as optimistic about Hillary winning as the media purported to be. I don't think so. And that's one thing. And I love people who in the going back then say, oh yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen. She writes that too. She says somebody had asked her, what do you think of the race? What do you think of these polls? Do you think Hillary's going to win? And she says, I just wouldn't trust the polls. I've traveled the country. I've looked at people. All the stuff, it's like she was listening to Sam Nation. All the stuff I was saying. Yeah, don't believe the numbers. I don't think people in Pennsylvania are really going to go for Hillary when they've got, they've got Trump storming through the state. But she says some of that in the piece too. But it's being embraced. It's coming out. It's coming out from a loyalist. It's being embraced in the media. It's being talked about, and the Democratic Party is done with Hillary Clinton. They are over it. She's toast. She's history. This is one of perhaps Hillary Clinton's worst miscalculations. Because if you're a Hillary and you lose the election and it's terrible and it hurts, and I can't imagine, right? It hurts. Now you've got to think how do I stay out of jail? And I and I And hear me out. If Trump is as bad as Hillary said he is all along, right? If Trump is as bad as he is, isn't that the next logical conclusion? So what do you need in order to stay out of jail? You need as much political capital from the resist movement, from the people that oppose the guy who has the attorney general, who has the FBI director, who has the justice, you know, department potentially investigating you, who can assign a special counsel, et cetera, et cetera. What you've got to have as much, as many friends, as many allies, as many of as much political capital and goodwill built up from people who are opposing him. Because you cannot fight the federal government and that evil Trump guy all on your own. And this is why, honestly, I'll tell you, this is why Hillary Clinton would have been a disastrous president. Because she's so stupid. For all her smarts, I keep telling you, oh, she's such accomplished and intelligent and studied, bright woman. She's a freaking idiot. Because she believes her, she lives in her own alternate reality. And the damage that her catharsis, best case scenario, catharsis, has been causing to the Democratic Party by constantly keeping in the forefront of everybody's attention what a terrible campaign she ran, what a horrible, disgusting human she is, what a terrible, terrible candidate she was. You know, getting her in the forefront, and they want to get rid of her. And that leaves her in a terrible, terrible predicament because you saw everything swirling. You're seeing the tide turn. You're seeing the Wall Street Journal come out last week and say, hey, you know, maybe the smaller guy on this Trump thing, you know, maybe we need to get this guy out. Maybe he's not independent. The tide literally right now is turning from, well, let's say 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. Trump, Russia, we got to investigate that 100% full board to, you know, hey, there's this uranium deal. Hey, there's this Clinton campaign problem. Hey, you know what? We have this foundation that may have been used to literally bribe a sitting Secretary of State right under Obama's nose. And the Democrats want this. You've got to listen to me. The Democrats do not want this anywhere near Obama. They need a boogeyman. They need somebody to put this on. They cannot let this touch Obama. And Hillary just stepped up and volunteered to be that person. That's dumb. This is like playing chess and never considering what the next move is going to be of your opponent. Not even considering what your next move is, right? It's not how you play chess. It's certainly not how you protect yourself in a very precarious political climate. And that's where she's going to find herself. So, honestly, Hillary should have stopped herself and considered, how am I going to be an asset to the people that will protect me? That was, you know, that's really the point I'm trying to make here. I'll keep saying it in different ways just to make it absolutely clear. Hillary needs the resist movement, whether they be Republicans, Democrats, whomever, but she needs political allies. But by making it all about her and how wrong she was and how everybody screwed her over and nothing was her fault and blah, 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 and just incessantly out there in the public eye being a complete ninny, the Democrats have had enough of it, and they're throwing her overboard. This is but a first step. And in my opinion, it could lead ultimately down the road to her being exposed to criminal charges. Criminal charges, when you're dealing with high-profile people in this country, I even think on some lower-scale prosecutions, are very political. There's prosecutorial discretion, right? You decide who gets prosecuted. You got 10 people that commit a crime. They only go after 3 or 4 of them, if that, statistically. And that's the truth no matter what. So there are people that were deciding whether to go after Hillary. Trust me, the reason that Comey didn't prosecute Hillary back, recommend prosecution back in the day, the reason that Loretta Lynch didn't prosecute Hillary, all of that, was because they felt that prosecuting her would be politically impossible for them. all those same decision makers, if they were still in office today, and those are Obama people, those are Obama appointees, if those same people were in office today, it would not be the same calculation. They would be looking at their own political expediency, their own political scalps, and would be much more willing to throw Hillary Clinton overboard. This is huge. So again, this is what we do here. We try to get a little bit beyond just the meat of what's being said and the bullet points, because I think it's important to know where you're going. Hillary doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't think any steps ahead. I do. I always try to see what's coming and obviously come here in the evenings and share it with you. All right, don't go anywhere. I have some more thoughts on this. Trump's Twitter, that was an interesting thing, went down for 11 minutes yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. I appreciate all your guys' thoughts on Lucy. I'll talk a little bit about that, too, as the hour progresses. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Twitter yesterday, suddenly Trump's account, the infamous Trump Twitter account, goes dark for 11 minutes, right? People lost their minds. And of course, the immediate conclusion was that he had been suspended or blocked by Twitter, which is, I've always thought, you know, could that possibly happen with other high profile people routinely getting booted off of Twitter, like Milo Yiannopoulos? Remember, he got banned for life. And recently, Roger Stone got booted basically over nothing. I mean, a joke, right? So everybody was thinking it was a big thing. Turned out it was a disgruntled employee who was like their last day, and they were a Trump hater, because probably everybody that works at Twitter is a leftist. And there it is. So think about this, though. You've got an employee that's leaving, and they have the power to shut down the Twitter account of the president of the United States that is probably, and no joke, I say this no joke right now, the most important account on Twitter. Like, there are people that go to Twitter just to see what Donald Trump will say that otherwise are not on Twitter. Who are they giving key? I mean, it's the way I'm reading the story is this guy was pretty low level. But at any rate, I mean, what it tells me is that all these criticisms of these people that are getting banned over nothing, obviously liberals that go on there and spout hate, you know, they're fine, nothing happens. And a conservative, you know, attacks somebody and next thing you know, they're banned for life. I just think it's a poorly run organization. I think on top of their ideological bent, Twitter is just has just some poor management issues. I wonder what their stock prices did. You can't let me forget this, and I'm going to talk about it at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. I'll go through the tax plan because it got released yesterday. We weren't on air yesterday because of the game. I've gone through it. I have some initial observations and opinions. Not all of them are good. So I think I do want to share that with you. The funny thing is tax plans are huge. Taxation, you know, for you and me too, right? I mean, we pay our taxes, so any changes to it, any big shifts in our tax rate, for example, can make us a little poorer or a little richer next year, right? So that's something. So it'll affect our spending now because, you know, we start to think about that. But one funny thing, or not funny, but one thing that happened yesterday was that Tesla, did you see what happened to Tesla shares? I thought of it here thinking of Twitter. Tesla shares actually tanked yesterday. Just literally. You could almost say that they crashed because what happened is in the Republican draft of the plan, they are repealing instantly the $7,500 per car tax credit that is the biggest dirty secret that Tesla has. They're only in business because of the subsidies. That's what keeps them in business. It's true. No, it's 100% true. All liberals want to believe that we all want to drive little golf carts everywhere, you know, putting around, you know, and it's not true. It's nothing America that's you know, with the little whoops, I'm out of battery. You know, I did I just ran a freaking Apple on my iPhone. I ran an update on it, a software update. Now my battery's tanking. That's how the car, I imagine that's how these electric cars are. You run an update on it. Next thing you know, instead of, you know, being able to complete your commute in a day, you can't. So no, thank you. Right. And the interesting thing is you find out very quickly with these type of announcements. You realize how fickle and how responsive the economy is, how these types of things work. And this explains, by the way, the enormous, robust growth in the Dow Jones Industrial, in the market. And it's all because of confidence that the marketplace has had since Trump was elected, that things would get better. And I'm worried a little bit that this plan may not achieve all of that. And I'll talk about it again at 8. So stay tuned. I'll talk more about Donna Brazile. I will talk about Lucy, my poor dog, who passed away earlier this week. And I just thank everybody for their warm thoughts. I have a funny story for you there, so don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Stay tuned for John Wolfe up next with the news.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome, friends. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. sam@samnation.com is the email. We were talking earlier in the hour about Donna Brazile's piece in Politico. It came out yesterday about how basically she was the brave, intrepid detective that discovered that Hillary Clinton had bought the entire Democratic Party before she got anywhere near stitching up the nomination, which made the entire process rigged. I mean, Hillary Clinton was the Hillary Clinton campaign people were the ones calling all the decisions, making all the decisions within the Democratic Party. Not surprising, but what I said, very important, what I said about this is, why are we finding this out now? And there's more to it than Donna Brazile coming out with a book that she wants to sell. Yeah, and by the way, don't call her a hero, right? She decides to only come clean with this information now because she wants to sell a book. No, the real story is, does she feel safe to torpedo Hillary Clinton now? And the answer is that Hillary Clinton right now politically is tremendously vulnerable. And the Democratic Party, she is a dead, decaying albatross around the neck of the Democratic Party. They want to get rid of her. The DNC wants her out. And this means that her political protection, right, her political capital has been completely spent on her own vainglorious pursuit of I don't know, some sort of self-therapy. Now, how I know this in part is you've got people like even Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren was a campaign surrogate. She was out there campaigning for Hillary. She, denying all along that there was any, you know, honky-tonk business going on with the Clintons during the campaign, that Hillary Clinton, anything, the Democratic Party, everything above board. We were all led to believe that it was kumbaya time at the Democratic Party. And now here we have Elizabeth Warren yesterday, CNN Jake Tapper, talking about what needs to happen. But it's the way this clip ends that is everything you need to know. Listen to this.
This is a test for Tom Perez. And either he's going to succeed by bringing Bernie Sanders and Bernie Sanders representatives into this process, and they're going to say it's fair, it works, we all believe it, or he's going to fail. And I very much hope he succeeds. I hope for Democrats everywhere. I hope for Bernie and for all of Bernie's supporters that he's going to succeed.
Very quickly, Senator, do you agree with the notion that it was rigged?
Yes.
Yes, but of course. Unbelievable. They say if you want a friend in Washington, that you need to get a dog. And that's really, politics are, friends, a mean and nasty business. It is not about any kind of loyalty to a person, even to a cause that unites these people. What keeps them together is fear of personal consequences. The entire reason why Hillary was not prosecuted, okay, by the Obama administration isn't because her and Obama were friends. It's nonsense. Totally preposterous. Frankly, from what I hear, they hated each other. No, the entire thing was, what are the consequences to Obama? For Obama, it was a consequence of hurting Hillary meant losing his legacy. He needed his legacy, his achievements, quote unquote, from his two terms in office to be kept in place. And he decided that his best bet was Hillary. Plain and simple. But the other part of this too is all the other people who are supposedly independent. What do they fear? Well, they're not going to torpedo their candidate, and their candidate, even after losing an election, Hillary, right? Even after losing the election, still had political capital, but she blew it by trashing the party, trashing every single person. So she no longer has any of that, and people come swinging for her, and not just Democrats and Republicans too. It's no longer just going to be a thing of, oh, that's just Trump being vindictive if they choose to prosecute. Very, very tricky. Very, very bad news for Hillary. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Hi, Sam Rzhovsky, talking about my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy you call if you get into an accident, if you have, let's say, somebody rear-ends you, a truck runs you over, you get injured. Anyway, anyhow, call James. He knows what he's doing. He understands how insurance companies work. You know those supposedly good people that have to help you out and pay you? It doesn't work that way. You got to call him. He understands how to get them to treat you right. And you want somebody independent like him on your side, an advocate. So don't go at it alone. Don't try to do it yourself. Call attorney Sweet James Bergner. He's a great guy. He's a friend, and he will get you through this. His phone number, easy to remember, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Also, visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, welcome back to Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And, what a tough week, guys. What a tough week. I for those of you who were not watching Game 7, I spoke on Wednesday about the passing of my beautiful puppy. She's 12 years old, and, you know, this whole week, I've just been crushed. You know, she's my wife and I, she's our child. She was an older sister to our three kids. She was the heart and soul of our family, and we continue to just be gutted. It is a void that we are struggling to fill. And I've been just having various people come over to the house and talk and share stories. And I was reminded of this great, crazy time. About a year into having Lucy, we were headed, this is a long time ago. My gosh, this is before any of my kids were born. Anyway, we were headed up to Utah, where my wife's family lives. And it was winter time. And I had gone online to look for a coat for Lucy, and I couldn't find a coat anywhere. She's a wiener dog. She's a dachshund, so, you know, the awkward length and, you know, all that. I think I ordered something, and it was too bulky. And so I decided, it was all on my own. This is so crazy, because nothing I would normally do. Just to show you how much I loved this stupid dog, I decided that I would make her a coat. It would be easy. And I've dug up somewhere, you know, my wife's sewing machine. And I plugged it in and I started. It's terribly hard. I don't know. Do you know this? Sewing machines are not easy to use. I perforated my fingers a few times and then I think I almost stitched myself together at one point. So I said, you know, enough of this. And this is, by the way, this is where the story really gets good. I was just sharing this with a friend last night. And she was hysterical. I had no idea that I'd ever done anything like this. I ended up signing up for a one-on-one sewing tutoring class at Joann's. You know, the craft store? No. And I'm not one of these beta males, right? I'm not the kind of guy that you know, walks around with, you know, a pink meow meow hat. I'm a kind of a tough guy. And this is, so I'm, I show up and there's like this mom, you know, middle-aged nice lady there. And she looks at me like a meteorite had just crashed through the roof of the store and landed in front of her. It's like, what do you want? I go, well, look, I've got this beautiful dog and I want to make her a coat. She says, all right. Well, so I did. I think I went there for something like 6 weeks. I learned how to sew and I made Lucy a really cool velvet coat. Which she absolutely hated. She hated it. I spent so much time and every remaining shred of my dignity working on that damn coat. And there it was. I put it together and put it on her and. We show up in Utah, and first of all, she just hated the snow with or without the coat because you still have paws and you're on the ground and you're a California dog, so that's not going to work. So that is just one of my great memories of this really truly amazing creature. I'm still so heartbroken. It's difficult. It's difficult to explain. So at any rate, we're going to get through this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, next hour, I'm going to get into the tax plan. I'm not going to be boring or anything. This is what you need to know. There's a lot of hype about it. There's some good, in my opinion, and some bad. So I'll take you through it don't worry. It's not going to be we're not going to be in the weeds, but it's probably some of the most momentous change happening to our tax code since the mid 80s. So it's important. You got to know what's going on and don't, please, whatever you do, do not rely on the evening news to tell you what's going on, because They're already making this a giant political bungle, and I'll explain everything next segment at the top of the hour. Donna Brazile coming out with her book. The book title: Hacks: The Inside Story of the Break-ins and Breakdowns That Put Donald Trump in the White House. Published an excerpt of it in Politico. It's making quite a bit of waves, and the Democrat Party's most of the operatives out there are buying it. They're going with it. You heard Elizabeth Warren saying, "Yeah, I buy it." Now, what's the inside story of the break-ins? Well, the break-ins is sounds like Watergate, doesn't it? It's not water. No, it's talking about the hacks of the email, right? Because the emails, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, it became very clear. This whole thing started. Suspicion, we'll call it. Confirmation of all this came out when nobody wanted to disavow the leaked emails, you know, between all these people conspiring to help Hillary get elected. And they were all on Team Hillary. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was at the time was the chairwoman of the DNC, had based, and she, by the way, this lady, she's a Democratic congresswoman from Florida. She's a dummy. She's just a total dummy. She makes decisions about things that are important to you and me. She got a gig running the Democratic National Committee, the Democratic Party. And what did she do with it? According to Brazile, nothing. She basically was a terrible manager. She didn't have her hand on the wheel at all. You know, she just liked to talk in front of cameras, but didn't manage. So she spent a ton of money, kept a bunch of people on payroll she didn't need to. They got deeper and deeper into debt. And their only way out, because of course, when you're a Democrat, the only way out of any problem is getting a handout. And so the handout that they got was from the Clintons. The Clinton people came around and says, well, you know, we have a track record of proving of fundraising money, and we can come to you. We'll take care of all this. Just, you know, just send us a bill. But slowly, the process led to the Democratic Party being taken over entirely by Clinton stooges. And worse yet, the fundraising arm of the party that fundraises for state and local races, Hillary put herself into that process, put herself in between the fundraising happening at the local level and her campaign, which ended up resulting in some weird deal where, did you hear this? That she kept 99% of fundraising, local Democratic fundraising, 99% of it. The local states, the local chairs, they only got to keep 1% for their local races. No wonder the Democrats, this is terrible. So you see, it started with Hillary looking for a scapegoat, but right now, the Democratic Party is turning it around on her. She's going to end up the scapegoat. They're going to end up blaming not just the Trump disaster, but all of the Democratic Party electoral disasters from 2016 on her. She is going to end up a pariah. And when you're somebody as crooked, okay, and I'm not talking Trump lingo, but really as crooked as Hillary, the last thing you want, and so visible, the last thing you want is to be out there dangling in the wind with no allies. Bad news for her. Okay, don't go anywhere. Back after the news with John Wolf.
KABC.
Hi, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Friday night, one and all. With phone number, if you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is my email. Well, of course, no, taxes are in the news. Before I get to that, did you see there's a news today? Harvey Weinstein may have a warrant out for his arrest. I don't know if you've seen this. Both the New York Police Department, also authorities here in California, have separate criminal investigations for rape allegations. The one in New York relates to actress Paz de la Huerta. And apparently the allegations are credible enough that the police have a warrant, which presumably comes from the district attorney. This is just a remarkable turn of events in a very short period of time. And I neglected to make this, for I didn't have enough time last hour to explain that this is kind of what I mean with a little bit. A good example of what I mean about Hillary Clinton losing her political capital. You see how someone who is as powerful as Harvey Weinstein, when he has allies everywhere and is in with the Democratic Party establishment or any establishment, right? But we're talking about Hollywood and New York, so we have to talk about Democrats. All right, so he's in with the establishment. Everything's good. Guess who he supports? He not only supports the president, he not only supports all these senators, he not only fundraises a star-studded gala for congresspeople, but he is also fundraising for who? People like the district attorney, who makes decisions on whether to prosecute crimes, and bada boom, bada bang, you get the idea. And the bubble bursts, sunshine comes in, right? You've got an avalanche of accusations, and all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what history you have. It doesn't matter how much money you fundraised. You become so toxic that you're done. It's happened to him. He's lost all of his protection. And this is, you know, he did this stuff. If it's true, he did it because he thought he could get away with it. That's the story. And politically, the I think it's closely analogous to Hillary. For years, she did all the Clintons did all this stuff because they thought they could. They thought they could get away with it. And, you know, you can get away with stuff for as long as you've got power of some kind. Power was all gone, done, the minute she lost that race. And the last little bits of shreds of whatever she had, she blew out the window. So this is, I was last hour talking about this news about Donna Brazile, how she's, you know, explaining now that, yeah, she found out, yep, when she came in and took over for Debbie Wasserman Schultz as the head of the DNC, she did a complete investigation, you know, brought her a little Nancy Drew outfit, went in there and investigated and found out that, yeah, Hillary bought and paid, just bought the entire DNC before the end of the primaries. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. All right. What is up with this tax bill? The number one most important thing you have to know is all of these details that are coming out. This really isn't going to be what the law looks like if and when it gets done. This is a proposal. The actual draft of the plan comes out of the very prestigious House of Representatives Ways and Means Committee. Now, being on the Ways and Means Committee, if you're in Washington, this is hot stuff. They control the money. Yeah, that's the one thing that they do. They control money. And because that is actually one of Congress's great powers, when we talk about the separation of our branches of government, Congress controls the purse strings. And I always think, you know, what's the expression? Money talks. So if you control the purse strings, you're pretty important. So Congress is pretty important. But then the people, the men and women that sit on the House Ways and Means Committee, they are even more important. And I'll tell you something about how you get on committees. This is before we even get into the tax plan. You got to understand why you get on, how you get on a committee. Any ideas? Got any ideas for me? How you get on a committee? Oh, I have an idea. I think I know. One of the ways you get on a committee is you play ball. You have got to be a team player. Let me tell you something. Who puts you on that committee? It's going to be the leader of the House, the Speaker. So this, who's the Speaker? Paul Ryan. Now, what do you think of Paul Ryan? Well, if you're me, I think that he's a dud. I mean, he is. I think that he's a bit of a rhino. I think that he's not necessarily a principled conservative. I think that he is very politically opportunistic. I think that he has no interest in Trump succeeding or the Trump agenda succeeding. And so with all this in the back of my mind, I know that he's not putting any people that are too reasonable on these committees. Now, certain people are on there because seniority and all that. But you got to understand, you get on an important committee by kissing the rear end of the boss. That's how it works. So with all that in mind, this plan here is not necessarily, this is not Trump's plan. Although, you know, Trump wants some of these items here. He's requested some of these items. They had, you know, when this whole process got kicked off at the White House telling Congress, hey, we want some of these. These are some things that we want. But this is the first shot. And by the way, it still has to go to the House. Then it goes to the Senate. It gets rewritten. Then it has to go back to the House. There's a lot that's going to happen between now and completion. Assuming that, you know, that this thing gets done to begin with, right? And so this is not the final plan. Now, I think that one of the most disappointing things in this plan, period, is to keep the top income rate at, 39.6%. This is bad. You, I, I principally 100% think that when wealthy people have more money to spend, it is good for the economy, period. I also will tell you that there's a giant misnomer out there that most people don't realize is that the really wealthy, the truly wealthy, those evil billionaires, right, that we like to hate on, those are people who are paying a very small amount of their money, or a very small amount of their money is being taxed at this 40%. Because these are all people who are receiving or making money off of, exactly, capital gains. They're making money off capital gains, which is taxed at a far lower rate, as low as 15%. So it's just so you know, this ends up soaking people who are just rich enough, making, let's say, $1 million a year. Sounds like a whole lot of money, but, you know, they've got a big, you know, maybe they've got a business, 20 or 30 employees, making $1 million a year, and suddenly the government comes in and takes 400,000 of it. And the minute that you start to talk about those kind of numbers, by the way, Czech Republic, this is Europe, you know, just to give you some idea, it's 20% is income tax. This is 20%. 39% plus on top of that, state and local taxes. Screw that. This is nuts. But the politics of income redistribution, the Democrats and their demagoguery about fairness makes it impossible for these wimpy Republicans to tackle this. It is totally 100% spineless that the House, the place where I expect, well, I hope, is where the leading edge of conservatism is, produces this upfront capitulation to the Democrats, keeping in the top rate. There's some little thing too where, you know, they're doing away with certain deductions and adding in a penalty. I don't want to get into it, it's too obscure, but actually that rate technically can end up going up by about 5%. So just so you know, there's some talk about that rate actually in practice going up an additional 4 to 5%. So this is bad. It's potentially a tax hike on the rich. Just letting you know. Because I know you're listening to the news out there, you're hearing stuff, and everybody's talking about this as this being a plan for the wealthy and a kick in the shins for the middle class and the poor. Total nonsense. I've talked to a few wealthy people. People are really wringing their hands over this. All right? So just, you got to trust me and not Chuck Schumer on this. Now, there's some good news in the plan. Good news being the corporate rate. It's dropping from 35 to 20%. Why does that matter to you? Easy. It matters to you because you make more money in an economy that is functioning and that is succeeding and that is just blazing full speed ahead. And there is no way our economy can be competitive when you have places like Ireland and places like China. Well, Ireland is, I think, 12%, 12, 13%. I mean, we have 35% tax rate. So do you know what that does? All these Democrats out there crowing about globalism and how great globalism is. And, oh, you know what? Gosh, that Trump, that backwards Trump guy, he just thinks that we, you know, should go back to being a little, you know, a little farming village over here in the colonies. No. Globalism means that companies that have the means and see a country across, you know, what, 4 or 5 hours away, 6 hours away by plane, that has a 12% income tax, corporate income tax, and a 35% tax here at home. What do? It's so simple. This is like California Democrats who keep taxing us into crazy land and then go, oh, this is surprising. Why are people leaving? Because I can live in where? Nevada and pay no income tax, you idiots. That's why. Because I actually can get up and go there, and Nevada is 50 minutes away by plane. Easy. And people do it all the time. The right thinking here is to get our tax rate competitive. It's just like rent. Taxes are like rent when it comes to multinational companies. The company will go where the rent is reasonable. They can rent in building X. They can rent in building Y. They can rent in building Z. If building X is, 12%, building Y is 35%, they're not even going to consider building X, the second building, building Y. They're not even going to consider it. And you wouldn't either if you were shopping around for rent. Why would you rent that apartment over there for, you know, $1,800 a month when you can get that one across the street for $1,100? You're not going to do it. Especially if they're okay, maybe that second apartment's one block further. Yeah, you can deal with it. It's a lot of money. You're going to save $500-$600 a month. Yeah, you're going to do that. And that is what companies are doing. And it affects you. It affects you because now all of that money is not in our economy. And maybe you want to get out of that crappy apartment that you live in. Maybe you want to buy a house. And maybe all this these trillions of dollars in cash that are being held by American companies overseas, if they were here in this economy, banks would have more money to lend. And it doesn't require government to tell them to lend, because I know you think that's, you know, some people do. Not you. You listen to the program. You're reasonable. But some people think that that's the solution is to government comes along. So banks, you better lend. We're gonna guarantee these loans. Da, da, da. But imagine, can you fathom the economics of a world where $1, $2, $3 trillion are repatriated into this country? It's epic. So this is a really fantastic thing. Absolutely necessary. And it will benefit everyone. It doesn't benefit just the rich corporation. It benefits the little guy in the street. It benefits the guy that wants to get ahead. It benefits the everyman. You've got to trust me on this. Now, speaking of repatriation, they're talking about taxing cash coming back at 12%. So right now it's at the full corporate rate. So the people, you know, if you're a corporation, if you're a CEO of a corporation, you're like Apple. Apple has, I think, something like $280 billion in cash outside of the country. It's all outside of the country. $285 billion. It's one company. You think they want to send it back and lose, well, I don't know, $80, $90 billion by taxing it at 35%? No! If the CEO did that, he'd get canned. It's not going to happen. Is it more intriguing to bring that money back and grow out the company here if you can get it taxed at 12%? Absolutely. 100%. This is really great. And by the way, the whole soak the rich argument. What is it? Top 20% pay 84% of income taxes out there. The top 20. And it's actually, you start to go down, even look at like the top 5%, the top 1%, significant portion of the total tax revenue that's brought in is paid by those people. Yeah, we ought to be thanking the rich. We ought to be thanking them for paying for our roads and paying for our military and paying for our pensions and paying for all this nonsense. Even these congressmen, thank you for paying my salary instead of, you know, here, screw you, I'm going to raise your taxes. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rudzowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rudzowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, I should present a caveat here. I may be an attorney. I'm not a CPA, although I do pay my taxes. So I'm just like any one of you that every year has to bite the bullet and bleed. And I hate it. So when the government comes out there and says we're going to be making changes, I pay attention. Interesting thing here, a little bit of some of these proposed changes under this plan. This is interesting because one of the things that is happening is getting simplified, quote unquote, by reducing the number of tax brackets. So right now, what are there? I think there are 7 tax brackets ranging from 10 to 39.6%. And they're doing away with 3 of them. So now the proposed is that there's a 12%, a 25%, 35%, and 39.6%. Now, the effect that this has is that it could end up hurting people who are making, let's say, an amount of income somewhere under $500,000. Let me explain. So you currently, the way it works currently is, let's say you're making 200 grand a year. And this is, we'll do joint. I think most people, all right, we'll look at joint. So at joint filers, if you're making about 200 grand a year, you're at 28%. Now that rate gets dropped to 25% because anything under 260,000 is at 25%. I don't want to get too stuck in the weeds. When you have fewer brackets, there are bigger jumps when you make that magic extra dollar crossing from one bracket into the next. If this becomes law, and it hasn't yet, we don't know when it will, if at all, but if this proposal were to become law, you would need to figure out, you don't want to be the guy that makes, you know, the $10 more than they did, and whoops, now you're paying an extra 3 or 4% in taxes, because let me see if I can figure this out. So you've got, yeah, so suddenly, if you're making $260,001, your tax rate jumps from 25% to 35%. Whoa, that's huge, right? The same, there's also a big jump from 12 to 25, right? And that's if you suddenly go from making $90,000 to $90,001. This, it's an interesting thing. You may actually tell your boss did not give you a raise. Well, you understand what I mean. I mean, you're doubling, more than doubling your tax burden by making an extra dollar. That dollar is going to cost you, that $1 will cost you 12 grand. It's that nuts, potentially. Now, there's other deductions in there and the type. So the one of the big, really frightening things here is the so-called simplified tax brackets. Everybody likes things that are simplified. Okay, we as a society tend to prefer that, but these big jumps are the problem. And you know what I think is the solution? By the way, I have always thought this. I think the solution is a flat tax, one tax rate for everybody. It's like a church tithe. You know, the church takes 10%. They don't care if you're rich or poor. It's 10%. I know. The Democrats would never go for it. And you know why? The biggest piece of demagoguery in all of this, the reason where all this goes awry, is tax policy truly is one of the most important things that matters to our economy, that benefits everybody. And yet politicians play with tax policy, use tax policy to buy votes from Joe Schmo, right? Because they don't make tax policy to favor the rich, because the rich, at the end of the day, the rich are not the ones who are going to the polls. It's the middle class. It's the poor. It's an inherent problem of a true true democracy, or representative democracy, at least. So here, that's what it is. These Democrats are all out there. They're in their world. I mean, you know, if politicians could say everybody under 90 grand doesn't pay any taxes, they get elected on that, you know, no problem. And then soak the rich, hang them up, turn their pockets inside out. The only problem with it is then what happens to the economy? Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, I'll give you some more details on these deductions and other things too when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Trying to make this tax stuff fun. I don't know if I'm succeeding. You tell me. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for being here. We've got a new tax proposal, and the changes are radical indeed. Not all good, not all bad. I'll tell you, but I think regardless, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect everybody. One thing I wanted to say, just as I was ending the last segment, when they play with these graduated tax brackets, you know, and put in standard deductions, which I think are being raised, I think nearly doubled. Is that the plan? I think they're going up. I have to look, but it's, I think they're going from 12 to 24. They're going up to 12,000 for single filers, 24 for joint filers. You know, when you look at this kind of stuff, there's tax policy always when it comes from the mouths of politicians is a means of bribing lower income voters to elect them. There's always more low income voters than high income voters. So in the conversations about tax reform, the Democratic Party in particular, and even some members like Marco Rubio and others in the Republican Party who are very obsessed with class warfare on some level, they get out there and bang their drum about the middle class and how it has to be for the middle class. And it becomes a selling point, right? They sell this to the middle class. I think, I don't know how elitist is this of me. I think that your right to vote should come with paying taxes. And if you're one of the millions and millions of people that don't pay any taxes, can you imagine if only people that pay taxes could vote? It's kind of like you become a shareholder when you're paying in. You get to decide. It used to be in England, you had to own property in order to vote. Which was effectively the same thing. Not many people were making money in the trades back then. You owned property and you made money or you didn't. But presumably you owned property, you were taxed, and so that's, you were taxed based on the property that you own. Anyway, it would never fly. It would never happen. But I always think that that's the way that you get. Then politicians would actually be real with people. Then they would be catering to only people that pay taxes, and they'd be bending over backwards to cut taxes for as many people as they can. The incentives are just not in the right place right now for politicians to, well, they're pandering to everybody. That's where the votes are. Anyway, one big thing that's in this bill right now that many of the pundits on the right are applauding, and that is the elimination of a credit for state and local taxes. They're keeping in a small amount, I think a cap of $10,000 on property taxes. So if you up to $10,000, you could deduct off your property taxes. I want to, one more time, just clarify this. This is not the law yet, and it will be heavily modified from this initial proposal that came out of the House Ways and Means Committee. But the big news here is, look, for people like us in California, where we pay a ton of money in taxes, in state taxes, places like New York, okay, this is a big deal. People who live in New York City, you know, they get taxed by the feds, they get taxed by New York State, and then New York City reaches over there with a little, I'm picturing it like a little, I don't know, like a little, little hand comes in there, you know, and just plucks it right out of their pocket, little hand, just, and it, functionally, a lot of high-income earners in New York pay over 50% in taxes. It's crazy. And that's the only way it really works. This is where I get it. You know, I know the politics of it. I want to explain it to you, because what do you think would happen if this actually got passed? What do you think would happen if the final version of this bill gets approved, turned into law, and suddenly we can't deduct California taxes? What do you think? I actually think there'd be a very real political consequence to this. I'll see what you think, too. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, I am here, and I want to talk about my friend, Sweet James Bergner. This is the lawyer that I trust. This is my friend. This is my everything. James, look, James is the guy that you need to call if you've been injured, if you've been hurt, been in an accident. Don't try to do it alone. So many people do this. I hear the horror stories day in and day out. Just call a professional. And don't just call any professional. Call Sweet James. He will take care of you. His team is ready to help. And that's, by the way, that's always the best thing when you've got something on top of you and worrying you and you're over your head. And then somebody comes in and lifts that burden. It's just a phenomenal thing. Don't delay. Call attorney Sweet James Bergner. If you've been injured, car accident, motorcycle accident, truck accident, dog bite, any type of injury, give Sweet James a call. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee. Doesn't cost you a dime until James settles your case. All right. He also has a website. Check it out. SweetJames.com. All right, Sam Nation, back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We're talking about these tax rates. The current proposal coming out of the House Ways and Means Committee is that states like California that tax its citizens, and states like also New York and others, high tax states, you can, and the present tax code, you're able to deduct your payments of these types of taxes. And I'll explain how that functionally works. You may not realize this, but it's you basically, if you pay $20,000 in California taxes in a given year, you deduct that, and then your federal tax is paid just on what's left after paying your taxes. You see how that's better, right? You end up paying, in other words, if let's say you're paying $10,000, and you end up paying just a percentage of what's left after state and local taxes. Good deal for high tax states. Now, guess which states Trump didn't win? High tax states. All you dummies out there that put your resist caps on, this is it. Because really what this is, this has always been the federal government subsidizing who? Bad states like California and New York, who we can't get our acts together. We just keep increasing taxes. And it's a subsidy. It's a federal subsidy for local taxes, because that's money that the feds are not getting. Make sense? Now, the Democrats, of course, keep it in because it's their buddies who are in these states like California and New York. You'll see even Republicans in the state are fighting against it because, of course, they've got constituents out here. And this, by the way, for me, would be horrible for you, too. I mean, you make any amount of money, this is a huge tax increase. So what do you do? I'll tell you what I think will happen if this actually goes through. And I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball on this one. I kind of doubt it happens. I think it's in this draft of the bill as a negotiating point. I think that they deliberately left this thing out to negotiate with it. But let's assume that it does end up in the final bill. I don't think people can afford to pay it. I mean, I think there'll be a number of people. This will be such an incredible tax jump for many businesses, especially and high income individuals, that the state desperately needs. Remember that statistic there? You know, 20% of people pay 84% of the taxes. In California, it's even higher. Look, what'll happen is it will drive companies and individuals out of state. There are people who are in California, I know some of them, who are, and you've got to trust me on this, are hanging by a thread. They are here for the weather. They're here for, for the quinoa salads and kale smoothies. No, really. I mean, they're here, but they're hanging by a thread. And if suddenly their tax burden jumps by $1 million to $2 million a year, they're out. They're gonna move to a nice place in Arizona or Nevada or someplace where taxes are a lot lower, and they'll keep their house out here and visit and that's it. And that will be such a devastating loss in revenue to the states that ultimately California will have to fix it. Starvation diet? Anybody? Anyone? Don't go anywhere. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right, it's been quite a week for me. I'm headed home after this. We've got some people at the house. We're saying goodbye to the dog. Poor little Lucy. She's having services tomorrow, and it's just been a tough week. You know, one thing I've realized too in this process is I'm so glad that I have feelings. opening your heart is an important thing. I saw right as we were wrapping up the show on Wednesday, that was so difficult for me, honestly. I mean, I could barely keep it together on Wednesday, so I appreciate your patience with me. But I noticed there was an article, and I've pulled it up here. Where do I have it here? It was in the New York Post. Ah, here it is. The article by David K. Lee, "Humans Love Dogs More Than Other People, Study Proves." And I'm looking at this title, and I... you know how they figured this out, by the way? They set up a charity, a kind of a phony charity for a dog suffering of an illness, and gave the dog a name, and then gave the same name to a human suffering from an illness. And voila, who got more money? The dog, by like a lot. And are you surprised? No, you know... earlier in the show, I said that, you know, and if you want a friend in D.C., you know, get a dog. And there's something enormously special about a relationship with a pet, especially a pet that's close and that, you know, that is part of your family. And that's what happens. So I'm telling you, it's been just an absolutely... difficult week, and I'm glad to be starting my weekend and to have some time with my kids and with Sherry and everybody. So, at any rate, next week we're back. Do we know the schedule? What's our plan? What nights are the Kings on? We're finding this out. I want to make sure you know when we are on the air, because the frustrating thing right now with the Kings schedule is when I'm off. That is when all the news happens. So we are on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we are off next week, Tuesday and Thursday. Okay, thanks, Robbie. On Tuesday and Thursday, big news is going to happen. I can just tell you that right now. It's Murphy's Law. Well, look, the Donna Brazile, the tax plan, everything got dropped yesterday, and part of me just wanted to rush in here and dissect all of it for you. That's the truth. So at any rate, we'll follow this tax plan very carefully. I will stay on top of this because I think we're especially vulnerable to any of these changes here in California. But I wouldn't start packing up yet. I would be shocked to see this deduction for state and local income taxes go away completely. I'd be shocked. I think it's going to stay in there in some form or another. I think it's just a bargaining point. All right, my friends, I appreciate you all so much. I've really been lifted by your kind words and emails and thoughts. I really do appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will be back here Monday night at 7, fulfilling my Sam Nation host duties. Over and out.